bonjour, everybody. Bonjour. This is Josh Ricardo, your old pal Josh. I just got back from Paris. I was out in Paris and I actually got engaged, so congrats to me, which was nice. But I have also been traveling a lot for work. It's been about a month. It's so nice to be back. And I have a really great episode coming up for all of you. My guest this week is actress Amanda Greer. Amanda's super accomplished. She's been in a ton of stuff. She's all over the place. I actually met her because I cast her in an art film I've done that hasn't come out yet called Devoured. Now, Amanda was one of the first people I've ever worked with that I really thought, oh my God, this person's fucking intense. Like, where I really was, her vibe was just really intense. She's, the way she works and operates, it's on a whole other level, and I really respect that, you know, one actor to another, and we kind of became friends after that, and I had to get her on. It's taken me a while, but we finally worked it out, our schedules finally met up, and I'm so happy I did, because honestly, she becomes the most in-depth, vulnerable, she's just naked, I mean, she wasn't really naked, but you know what I mean, naked guest I've ever had, and she shared some things that most people would never share, and I'm super thankful for that, because that's what makes the show interesting for me and for the people out there that are the loyal listeners. I think it makes it interesting for you to hear somebody really go balls to the wall, and not in a way that's like look at me way. I mean, when we're chatting during this show, you'll hear it. We really hit some points where it's just her being honest and talking. I like to think that's partly because I'm a great host, but honestly, most of it's her being able to do that. So it's a really awesome episode. I love her. She's great. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. So enjoy it. It is me, the one and only. I am the luckiest man in the world. I say this to everybody. But I make my own luck, as I say as well. But here's why I'm the luckiest man in the world. I get to interview amazing, lovely people. And my guest is no slouch today. My good friend, actress extraordinaire, Amanda Greer. Amanda, say hello.
Hello, darling.
You're so fucking funny. This is going to be a shit show. I already feel it. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful mess.
Could it be, it
can be amazing.
Our craziness together.
It could be. Just combine them together and smash them like two trucks meeting in the night.
We're too much.
So let me give everybody some context on how I know you.
Uh-oh.
Amanda and I saw Amanda, I think through just social media. Let's just say social media. I can't really pinpoint because we're everywhere, you know. But I saw a picture of her. And you guys are going to see a picture of her now too because you're obviously checking out the Instagram page and all that. But I saw a picture of Amanda. And she has like the body of like a Christina Hendricks, but thinner. The same like bust. Really like ooh, like just oozes sexuality. And I remember seeing her and being like, holy shit, like who's this chick, right? That's how I said it in my mind too. Like, holy shit, who is this chick? That's how I talk in my head. That's how my inner voice sounds. And then my penis got out of the way, and then my actual, the artist in me, I had a film that I had on the shelf. It's like a art noir slash erotic slash relationship. It's very intense. No dialogue. It was a real big art piece I had. Real like short film, about 5 minutes, but just intense, you know, all the way through. And I wanted someone very womanly for it. And I hit her up, and we ended up hitting it off, and put her in film. And the film's awesome, but it's in that post-production purgatory where it's coming out. But I am, as you guys all know, I'm very nutty when it comes to my work. So it's not perfect in my eyes yet, so I'm still working on it. But it's coming out. That's how I know Amanda.
OCD, perfectionist.
Yeah, knowing that you're never going to reach it is very irritating.
Is that how you feel?
Well, you're never going to reach perfection. Perfection's like a thing. But you can reach excellence by shooting for perfection. That's, you know, the way I look at things. So I feel like, if I felt like what we had was shit, and I go, well, I just made shit into gold, I would let it out. But I know there's more gold in them heels. You know, I can see it, you know?
You haven't changed the title, have you?
No. So Devoured is the name of the movie. And it'll be out very, very soon. Obviously, all my listeners will know. But that's how I know Amanda.
When it screens, finally, I want to
be topless? Yes,
something,
you may.
Something really ironic to go.
When
with
it comes it. Out, we should go out. We should do all kinds of like social media stuff with a bang. We should really get nuts about it.
Yeah, I want to invite people to see it with me, and I want to see it for the first time with everyone else.
Yeah.
Obviously, that won't be the case for you, but.
You know, I'll be hiding in the back. Every time my movie show on a big screen, like in a festival, you can't even find me. Like they have to do that Q&A after. They always like have to run out and find
me. Oh, God.
It's
you're
annoying.
At the bar.
It's annoying. Yeah, I'm probably drinking like I am now in the middle of the day. Isn't an artist's life great? Like her, like she walked in and we were like, well, let's have a cocktail. Like it's not, because that's what we can do.
I'm so bad.
Well, I can do my, in fact, it doesn't help my work. Everyone who says, like, oh, I smoke weed and it helps me create, like, okay, but that's what you think that helps you go right to that place because that's how you feel.
It's
like placebos, you know, like people take the sugar pill, you know?
Or what's that neurotic pill to get?
Viagra.
No, God. that's one. And then what's the other one? Adderall. Everyone I know is on
ADD,
Adderall.
So everyone, yeah.
And I'm like, I'm good.
I'd rather take Molly. To be quite frank.
Yeah, Molly. But then I get the.
But I get to create.
I don't know.
I create boners. I create my hands all over people's body.
Well, people can't handle me.
You are hard to handle, though.
I know.
But you know that.
Isn't
that great that, okay, imagine if you were born ugly. You would be fucked. You'd be fucked.
I would.
Because you're hard to handle. You're hard to handle because you know someone has to try to handle you.
Probably.
You would probably adjust. It's nature over nurture, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, okay, nature is giving me this, therefore I can act.
You know
like
what
this.
My mother used to always tell me? She said, I actually feel bad for if a man ever marries you. That's what she said.
And she probably wasn't meaning
it
as a diss.
No, not in a bad way. But yeah.
But she created this product, so
she
that's saying a lot about her.
She did. She raised this way.
So you're from the South, from Texas, correct?
Texas. Mm-hmm. Corpus Christi, Texas.
You're like, so here's what I know about you. So here's how, usually I would, just so everybody knows, usually I would never want to associate or be, I mean, with our job, sometimes we have to be around people like this, but someone who looks a certain way and also acts like their shit doesn't stink, that's something I don't want to be around. Amanda's not that, because if she was, there'd be no way to connect with you for me to do my work, because right. I'm a diva in my own right, and why would I have to deal with anybody
for
else?
For sure.
Blah, 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 blah.
Confirmation on that.
So, what really attracted me to you for the work is that I was like, you know what? She's a challenge, but there's also a part of you, like, where I remember certain times we'd be sitting down, and I would, like, maybe not physically grab you, but I would grab you. Not necessarily check you, but once I would grab you, it would be a different thing. Like you had speeds. You know what I mean?
Right.
There was different changes of gears with you. And I thought that regardless of what happens, if she loses it, I know at least I have that much over her where we can guide it somewhere. And it could be great. It could be shit, but it could be great. But the possibility of it being great was a lot higher than it being shit. Do you see yourself as someone that from an artist perspective and from acting, that you know enough within yourself, like, hey, I could lose it at any time.
Yes. I mean, there's times, even yesterday I performed my play in the semifinals, and I literally...
What is this play, real quick plug on the play before we get to the end, just so people to know what the play is. It's called Another Famous Dead Artist, right? This
yes.
is the play we're talking
it's
about.
It's an original play called Another Famous Dead Artist. As of right now, it's a one-act play, but there is a full-length play. But, you know, it takes
mm-hmm.
financing
oh, yeah,
and funding. And so the point, I mean, we've been accepted to the New York New Works Theater Festival, and it's a really prestigious film festival. It's right there in Times Square, 43rd
awesome.
And 8th.
Awesome. Times Square Art Center, right? Really cool
mm-hmm.
space.
Love it.
Spaces
perfect.
In a space, yeah.
It's like, I want to say 250 seats.
Perfect.
You know,
intimate.
It's good, great
mm-hmm.
enough. And we're in the semifinals, and we find out this weekend if we've moved on.
Awesome.
And last night I didn't know what to think because we had to go on. Ours is a dramatic play.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to go on after three comedic musicals. Can you
so
imagine?
So the stacking is not the greatest opportunity for your play. It's a bad stacking.
Yeah, it was, I mean, we,
change
I felt,
of pace
we
is
changed
so severe.
The atmosphere in the audience mm-hmm. for sure. And I didn't know what to think of it. It was so drast. That me and my scene partners, we didn't even know how they took it. It wasn't until afterwards when everyone was saying, my God,
mm-hmm.
wow, that really, we got it.
Yeah. So you were giving an instance of last night where you kind of lose it, and that's, you kind of go into a place where...
I walk away. I need to be alone.
It's insecurity, anger meets talent smashed together in a way, right? Well, sometimes here's what the reason why I kind of relate to a degree, because as a stand-up, live performance is how I make a lot of my money. So when I see a room like that where a guy in front of me, let's say an act in front of me, is awful. There's something, he's ruining the room, let's say. Mm-hmm. And I got to go on after him.
Uh-huh.
I'm in the back and I'm kind of a prick. I'm keeping to myself because I'm preparing myself, because I know I have to center myself before I go out there. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm irritated about the fucking sound, if the room's too hot, the crowd's overlit. I mean, this is stuff that you think about as well, right? And then those things add up. And you kind of lose yourself for a minute.
Especially, like, if the show's running behind. You know, mm-hmm. like, if we don't start when we're supposed to start, I can be impatient for sure.
Yeah.
Because I'm so on. I did all my prepared. I'm ready. I got to the theater
got
way
to the place
beforehand.
You had to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm standing backstage in heels, and I'm, like, I can start to feel it.
Yeah.
And you can almost feel the character draining out of you.
Yeah.
So you like an athlete, you have to slap yourself
in the
face.
You get warmed up. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, it's a lot of things. You know, we were rehearsing before we performed, and we rented the space, like it was our slot, from like 5 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
And people kept opening the door and just walking in. And my scene partner, he's very New York. He's from Staten Island, so he's a dick. And I love that about him, you know, except when he's a dick to me. Mm-hmm. We were fireballs.
Yeah.
Oh man. Josh, you would totally understand. And he's like, "Can I help you?" You know, and each time they're like, "Huh? Oh, I thought that I could just sit down." Well, this is private. Can you, you know, but each time I, you know, gets it.
Yeah, yeah,
the same.
You get fired up.
And I, when we're done, I have to walk away because I know I'll snap at someone. And mm-hmm. I hate to sound that way.
Yeah, but it's reality.
But I'm
though.
Protecting people.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
That's how you justify it.
Yeah. I'm protecting you. I care about you enough that I don't want to let it go on you.
I think because my... You know, I touch in two different worlds a lot. I mean, with acting, luckily I have enough training to go, okay, someone's getting into your space. And when we were working together, because I know we both come from a method background, with you, like you said, you lather. I mean, you're lathering before we do anything. And I remember I hired a couple people to work, not hired, but there were a lot of people asked to work on my set. Like, can I work on your set? And they were like, what is she okay? And I was just like, dude, she's perfect. Like, just let her do her thing. Like, that's let her do her thing, because that's what's gonna have to happen. And I think, I think we're doing really well, you and I. Mm-hmm. But obviously, we haven't reached the pinnacle that we are. The ascent is still happening.
Yeah.
So a lot of things that a huge star could get away with—that's actually really with their craft or a great character actor. I'm finding myself loving way more than huge stars. I mean, character actors are amazing to me. You go, holy shit! Like, they can get away with that. Because they're like, the crew goes, "Oh, I've been on a million sets, and this dude's doing his thing." And
yeah.
It's like all of a sudden you put 5 big lights up, people are like, okay, well, they can.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like you have
every
to
scene is
take a moment
mm-hmm.
and then be Amanda again. Okay, let me explain to you. I'm fine. Don't worry about me. But I feel obliged to have to explain myself. Mm-hmm. I'm actually trying to get ready to be on film.
Yeah.
But people, they see you and they... Everyone's sensitive, and everyone feels the need to comfort you, or maybe they're just nosy and they need to know what's going on.
I felt no need to comfort you ever.
I know.
I don't want you to deal with whatever you got to deal with on your
own.
But
you knew.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But I remember, and I think you even saw my face.
Mm-hmm. I'm very in tune with you.
You are.
I was always very in tune. Plus, whenever I'm on a set, usually I'm doing 50 things because that's just what I do. So when I'm in it with her, I'm letting her know, I want you to do your thing. It was perfect. But yes, it was very interesting to watch people's reactions around us.
For real.
Yeah. Because I have to be me at a certain point. Because I'm like,
course.
Hey, you got to do this and I need this. But then I can go off and there's one point that you and I disappeared to a room
mm-hmm.
just so I can be around your energy. We mm-hmm. weren't even talking.
Yeah.
I just need to be around your energy for a minute so I can get my energy right. And then we went out. Because the film is that intense and I'm blowing it up because it deserves to be blown up. But wait till you guys see it. It's really great. But I love that. But like you said, people don't know what the fuck to do with themselves. And they look at it as a diss.
Yeah.
I don't take a lot of shit, so sometimes if I feel like someone's giving me shit, I'll give it back. We never really had those moments, but people are weird when someone's really direct.
Yes.
And then And then with you, there's probably another level added because you can be obtuse for the sake of your actual work, you know?
Very much so. So. And I love that you get that about me.
Yeah, I get it. I get you to a certain degree. I've never claimed to get you, but I get things about you.
Even you and I, once we were, thank God it wasn't until we were done. I felt like when we're working, we're all about the work.
Sure.
It wasn't until like, okay, we have no more work to do, and we're just shooting the shit. Mm-hmm. And then even you and I had our own little spitfire.
Yeah. I mean, I love a good argument.
Don't think I forgot.
I love a good argument, always. And if I know there's something to be gained with each other going at it, mm-hmm. if... The worst, it's all about, for me, like, okay, everyone plays, like, especially in our business, like, oh, well, I can't burn any bridges, and yes, you can. There is a certain degree of that. Certain degree, right?
Yes. But, however, you don't want people to take advantage of you.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you deal with that a lot more than I do because I'm a male in the industry.
Well, because it got me nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, people see you and they're like,
you know,
maybe I could try to fuck this chick if I... say I have all this stuff, or yeah. I could see why you would have a defense up. That wasn't our spitfire moment. No. But when I see someone that I already have worked with, I know what they're capable of, I know potential, I know how talented they are, I know what they do, and there's a moment there where we can go, hey, let's take the gloves off and see what happens. The gain is bigger than the loss. Like, if worst comes to worst, you hated me, which would suck. But we're always attached with this work anyway, so you can't necessarily hate me.
But I think you knew that I think you knew just as well as I knew that we could handle it.
Yeah, oh
and,
yeah.
And, I don't know, I
hate to be vague, passion. But there really is, like, the specifics of it would bore you. It's the essence that is what's good. Like, that's why we're talking
we
about
sexual life. We were talking about sex. That's what it was about. We were...
What was...
We were with our cinematographer... And she and you were all having a drink, and it was
Yeah, that's right. We got
huge.
Because I have a very specific. I have developed quite a repertoire of like a dom sub relationship.
As have I.
And there's certain aspects that she utilizes as a woman from the more dominant side, mm-hmm. and there's certain aspects as a man that I. And so that's what we were talking about. Yes, that was actually a conversation.
Yeah,
it was fueled with about 5 vodka rocks. Yes. And whatever you were drinking that night. So it was probably even better than we thought it would be.
It was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember going home that night just feeling so fueled,
mm-hmm.
you know?
I like how she, the emphasis on the fuel. So many things there. I don't know why you even have clothes on here. These people are going to see you mostly naked. You should just be naked for the interview and do the right thing, Amanda.
It's funny how when people find me on Instagram for the first time, the first photo that they like is always like a semi-nude. It's like out of the thousands of photos, they just automatically just find that one. It's like, is that...
Are you surprised?
I mean, I guess not. No.
If I had D cups and an ass, yeah.
These
aren't
D.
I had fit. What are they?
You have no idea what
they are. Probably double D, right? Oh, no, you're going to go G.
I'm a fucking G. Can you believe that shit?
I don't believe it.
You know why? Because people.
You're so tiny up top, ribcage wise?
Well, yeah. I have a small waist, and when you put the two together, it just never really goes. You know, dresses aren't always fitting. So mm-hmm. you know, I know what to look for myself, finally.
And she's all real.
I am.
Yeah. And I'm promoting you without you having to say it.
You're promoting my body and my sexuality, which won't always be there.
We just promoted everything about your work the last 20 minutes.
My crazy personality. My destruction on set. She's difficult.
You're difficult to work with. Yeah, bitch. You're a raggedy bitch. But what I'm saying is, with Instagram, I tell people this. I tell men this. Even on stage, I have a bit about it. It's more like a rant. But what I say to them is this. Men ruin Instagram because we gave so much attention to just chicks with big asses and whatever. And mm-hmm. it's like a woman who will show every fourth pic will show an ass or a tit, 10,000 followers at a minimum.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And
especially if it's working out.
Yeah. And I said to men, I go, hey, guys, you got to step up for yourselves. Every time you like a picture and follow someone, they're getting money off of that follow and off of that like.
That's true.
These women get careers off of this, which I'm not hating on. Get your money, get what you got to get. But have you read the captions underneath some of these pictures? It's like ridiculous Marilyn Monroe quotes that don't make any sense. Like, if you can't handle me. Like, it's just a whole, like, world of shit that
crazy.
They're promoting.
Crazy
and,
hashtags.
And you are rewarding them for bad behavior. and they're making money off your like, at least make them earn it. Like, if you post a picture, you post great pictures from our film, mm-hmm. work you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it showed your body, yeah. but your body is a character in that film,
right.
and we are working. It's a higher level of work. You're not going, hey, this is a gratuitous ass shot, yeah. but then I'm going to post some bullshit thing about how you need to love yourself underneath. No, yeah. no, no, no,
even,
no.
Even the description, I always go into detail. This is
so
literally
detailed.
I'm the most detailed caption, but I'm just, I feel like I'm too articulate for this day and age.
Oh, because you don't say that ass, though? Like, if you posted a picture of your ass and you look back at it?
Yeah, and people are like, oh, my God, you're from Texas? Well, where's your twine? I'm like, honey, it's there.
It is there.
But I'm not here to entertain
Still
you.
Still magnolia is there.
That's right. I don't know. That's why I...
No, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, at least I have no beef with anyone that is doing work and that's how they do their work. I mean,
for
we
sure.
all... There's a million ways to skin a cat. We're all trying to make it.
Yeah.
But what bothers me is that men are not requiring these women to do much
mm-hmm.
to give them a career.
Right.
And it's not setting a good example for them or for the rest of the younger women coming up.
Well,
I mean,
what's tough is the women that are all about the talent. Is
mm-hmm.
We're not really making any headway much anymore. So we kind of have to...
What's funny about you, not funny, but what I liked about what you're doing is that you're trained, you're always working on your craft, and you utilize your assets,
mm-hmm.
tits, ass, whatever, your mm-hmm. sexuality, to enhance your performance. It's never like, hey, here's what I have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this Amanda's not going out there, everybody, and going, hey, I'm a TV personality, a.k.a. tits and ass on a screen that can read a teleprompter. And I'm not hating on anybody who's attractive that gets put on TV. Like, please don't take this the wrong way. What I'm saying is, if I just had a huge dick, and let's say women were like men, where they just, like, anytime they get a view of a dick, they would get excited. Like, men get excited by cleavage and
if
curves.
Only that were true, right?
If I was showing it overtly and there was no mystery. It was like, look at this dick. That was it. That's all I had going for me.
Yeah.
And then 6 months later, after all these big dick pics, my dick in a... just coming out of my pants.
My dick with a poncho.
Yeah, yeah.
My dick
well,
with a sombrero.
That's creative. You should
right?
like that. That's
right?
creative. But no creative. Just my dick.
My dick speaking different languages with different...
It had 50,000 Instagram followers, right?
Yeah.
And then now I'm promoting Shred's dick growth. Like, and now it's like a whole... I have a career off of just my dick.
Yep.
And if I was rare, like if like, wow, this guy from Mexico with a 19-inch dick. Have you read this?
No.
So Daily News put out an article. There's a guy in Mexico. He's 5'2". His dick's too big to go to work. He can't kneel because his dick's so big. They had an x-ray of it. It's a legitimate 19-inch dick.
It's like
yeah.
abnormal. He can't even have sex.
No, he can't do anything.
Yeah.
And it's 10 inches in circumference.
That's about as tall as some midgets, I think, right? He's got
it's
a person
people,
in there.
But he does have a small person in his pants. But what I'm saying about that,
please.
At least he's a rarity. He's a rarity. Big asses these days, they're not rare.
No.
People get them injected. People do the squats. It's not like when you see a big ass guys that it's, oh, it's just one more big ass. Like it's
right.
like, oh, I gotta like that because that's one more big ass.
Right.
Step up. That's all I'm saying. Step up. Be more like Amanda, ladies. Like,
thank you.
Have a craft. Like I get where if all of you guys are personal fit trainers, are you just training each other? Like how many clients are there out there if every one of you are training people? That's all I'm saying.
It's like I want to feel good. But I'm just not the fitness person. You know how some people, it's all about that. And
mm-hmm.
I can't. I just can't.
There's
I don't
much
have,
depth to that.
I don't have any passion for it.
Passion is the key. And people who are passionate about anything, that's attractive. But for me, one of the most boring conversations in life
yeah.
is someone talking about their workout methods.
Yes.
And I'm a guy who played college football. Like, my whole life was built around working out.
Absolutely.
And I'm telling you right now, there is no... If you've ever had a date and someone starts talking about their workout methods, and you didn't walk out right then, it's because you're attracted to them, and you will just put up with anything in hopes of fucking them.
And hoping that the few... Keep buying some more drinks, honey. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Are we ready to go home yet?
Oh, I guess, yeah, that's right. That is, yeah.
Yeah.
Amanda Greer just came in. Like,
that's nice, dude. Here,
oh,
here's
yeah.
my purse. Let's
so
go.
So you do squats? Great. I have a Manhattan, please.
Yeah. Mezcal Manhattan. That's my drink. Nice and smoky. Fucker.
So when you were growing up, that's how I do my segues. So when you were growing up in Texas, I feel like because... I think people who could go to a very dark, different place have been to dark places. So when you were growing up, I don't know.
Are we going to get real?
Let's get a little bit real. You know, I know I'm not asking you to dive into some crazy shit you don't want to get into.
You know, I'm not ashamed of anything.
I know you're not. What I'm saying is, when you were growing up, what was your situation like? I know your mom kind of raised you alone.
So this is where my blunt will come in. And I know people can't handle it. And it seems weird.
My
people
can't.
It seems like I have no sympathy or empathy or...
These listeners can handle it. Okay. Lay it on.
Oh, man, I'm going to get just so real as if I'm on MDMA.
Is that Molly?
I think so, yeah. Mixed with a little coke, I think.
Amen. Amen to that.
Okay, well, my mother never wanted children, and I was actually, you know, she had many abortions before that. She just never planned on having children. So let's just make that into she shouldn't have been a mother.
Sure.
However, she is very open, and she fell in love with a homosexual who was my father. My father was completely gay, and everyone's like, whoa, does she know? Yes, she knew. She was a fag hag. She met him at a gay bar. He was dancing and twirling around the...
I'm in great shape.
Yeah. So he was 15. She was 17 at the time. She was already in love with a woman at the time. She had a sugar daddy. She had boyfriends. My mother, I don't think... as sexual as she is, I don't think she's sexual. It's funny that way. She falls in love with the person. So, I don't know. She connects with certain people and she'll give you her all. Mm-hmm. And he wanted a child. And I'm sure he had his reasons. Maybe he wanted to fit in, have a family. I think family meant a lot to my father, which is, you know, a struggle. And I'm sure it's hard for some people to imagine. My Nana, who I love and adore, and I'm the closest to her. My Nana is my father's mother. She kicked him out when he was 15. So he was out on the streets, prostituting, practically living in the gay clubs. Mm-hmm. And so my mom saw him, and she had her own apartment by then and had him move in. And so here's my father and my mom's girlfriend and my mom's boyfriend and my mom's sugar daddy. Yeah. And my mom would explain it to me. She said, well, my father would make love to men and fuck her. And also, she was the only woman that he was mm-hmm. ever with. And every time they had sex, she would make him use a condom, and she found out that he would poke holes. So then she went and got one of those...
Because he wanted to get her pregnant.
He wanted to have a child.
This is before you, obviously. Before they had you, obviously.
He tried for a while.
A long time before actually
she
one
went
guy
and
passed
got
the goalie.
The track thing in that's supposed to last for like 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
He fucked her so hard one time that thing just like moved out of place. She had to go have it surgically
removed. Your
mother
told
removed.
You this.
Oh, she told me everything.
Amazing.
I grew up just, let's not hold back.
Doesn't
anything.
That suck? Because I grew up like that too. Just to side note, everybody.
Suck?
Here's what sucks.
It sucks that no one else grew that up.
No,
that
no. Here's what sucks about it. I thought for a while that it was so great that I was that my parents were so dysfunctional that I became an adult to them at a very young age.
Yes.
Where my mother would be like, I'm not getting any from your dad. And I would hear that shit.
Oh.
Or we're having money problems. I mean, this is a 9-year-old kid.
I just thought about that. I remember, I don't know, I was just thinking earlier how I got like a Christmas gift from like some family member. It was $25, but the way they gave it to me was a savings account at a bank. Mm-hmm. And I remember my mom mentioning, oh, we don't have any money for electricity.
And
here's
I had to
me,
sell
a
my
little
football
kid.
Cards I had to sell
yeah.
to get my mom money so she can get her nails done.
But she took it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what that's what sucks is that we became
Not
adults.
No, darling, don't.
We became adults so quick that... Of course, like, I couldn't wait to grow up.
Mm-hmm. But the thing is...
But now I have nostalgia
problems.
Not everyone's
like that.
No,
there's
a lot of people
kids that
can't deal with shit.
A kid.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They would have been in that situation, and they still would have remained naive and
you
a kid.
You think?
Oh, absolutely. I look at my brother. You know?
I think people like us were put in that position because our parents go, oh, that...
I think
he's my equal.
Yeah. Oh
it's
yeah,
very
my mom
weird.
Treated me like her sister. She used to actually call me Diane, which is her sister's name, all the time. So I was conceived in a threesome. My father was in the middle, my
two guys
mom on
mom.
The bottom, and some guy on top of my dad.
Jonathan, and, we'll call him,
or Josh.
We'll
Joshua.
Call him Joshua.
And Joshua pleased my father. My father came inside my mother, and pop, here I come.
So you know, if I feel like you know particulars, right?
I do.
So
was
he like blowing your
child.
Dad, and then
no,
he shoved her in, put him in?
Him in the asshole.
Oh!
So my father smacked him in the sandwich.
The old sandwich.
Yes.
The old butthole pussy sandwich. Ah, yes. And that's how you were made.
That's how I was made.
Oh, you were destined to come out.
She was 23, he was 21. And so I don't think they were ready for all that, you know?
No.
But it happened. And this was during the AIDS epidemic.
Uh-huh.
And my mom decided to keep me because the AIDS epidemic was out and about. And she told me, she said, Amanda, I just knew that he was going to become HIV positive.
Because he was that promiscuous as a man,
absolutely.
Obviously.
Yeah. And she was right. And luckily...
you didn't have it.
No.
Luckily.
Actually, they were so ignorant back then, obviously, that they tested me all the way up until I was 16 years old. Yeah. Crazy.
Isn't one blood test mean like, hey...
No. Well, they... I don't know. He died when I was 7.
Uh-huh. Did you ever meet him?
I did. Well, it's crazy. I grew up in foster care because when I was 3, something really bad happened to me.
Yeah.
And they took me and my brother has a different father, to foster care, and we grew up there. I got out early. I hated foster care. I feel bad for anyone who has to go.
I feel like
it.
Foster care, that's pretty much the sentiment most people that have been in the...
I've never been in foster care,
but I've heard not good things. It's never like, goddamn, we got to try that foster
care. It's never
care
good people for some reason. It's crazy. It's greedy people that just want state checks and they're not in it for compassion.
You know what? In this day and age, I don't trust anyone that doesn't have children but desires to be around children.
No, they had their own children too and their children were fucked up.
That's what I mean though. Like that Jared guy from Subway. Yeah, I run a youth foundation.
And that hit me. And you know what is crazy? I expect shit like that. When everyone else is like freaking out.
If you
want to
be around kids
like,
and you don't have kids, you're probably a fucking pedophile.
Yeah.
There's just no way around it.
No.
A lot of fathers are
pedophiles.
It's crazy.
Whether you have children or you don't have children.
But when I see a guy with no kids and he insists on being a big brother or being I gotta be involved in the child community. I mean, there's some guys...
Where they spend more time with children than they do...
There's probably some people out there doing some really good things, too. And maybe, you know, I'm generalizing and I apologize. But for the most part, you're suspect to me.
Well, when the
majority... Because I'm a child of abuse. I understand. I mean, I've never been molested. But what I'm saying is...
I can attest to what you're foreseeing.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been there. I grew up in it. So, I mean, I have trust issues myself.
Of course.
Which I use in my acting,
and that's
of course. And that's where the dark
circle.
Places come from and all that stuff. I mean, I don't live there anymore. Obviously, I feel very healthy and free. And
did you go to
therapy?
Is that too personal? Did you try that out? Because I feel like you're too stubborn and strong minded, and that ruined you for adult therapy, right?
I tried it several times. One because they forced me, and then later they forced my mother. And I remember one time I told something of the truth. And she went and told my mother what I said, and that just stopped.
Caused a huge
my mother
issue.
Said, we don't say anything. And she, it's not like she hit me or she got off. She didn't scream at me. She said, Amanda, we can't trust anyone. In other words, do you want to be taken away from me again?
Uh-huh.
Kind of, you know?
Yeah.
So I learned, even if the cops come to your house, don't answer
don't
the door.
Shit.
Don't let them in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a warrant.
Yeah.
Is so-and-so here? If they're here, no, you don't say anything. I grew up with, everything's in the family. Everything's, which sucks.
And this is what sucks in our society today. And I love being American. I'm not shitting on
No,
that.
I do. I'm very patriotic.
But what I'm saying is, because the system is so flawed on how they deal with this, with children in abused homes, it's like, yeah, if you're telling me that my choice is to go to foster care and be beat up in whatever or be treated like shit by a new family.
It's almost like you'd rather,
I'd rather
get it from your
stay with the devil I know than go to a devil I don't know. You know? I mean, that's what sucks.
Well, after a while, I emancipated myself when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I also fought for custody of my younger brother. He's 3 years younger than I am. And I did that for as long as I could. And then I finally... got a job. I graduated high school as soon as I could, and I went and got a job in the oil field, and I became a permit agent, and I was able to save up enough money to pay for my own college, which I did.
Where'd you go to school?
Attended the American Musical and Dramatic Academy of both Los Angeles and New York.
Shout out!
Amba! <Keep going. laughs> Although I have my pet peeves about that. I have my, you know.
Qualms, as they say. Qualms.
All that good jazz. They're very expensive. And I live in New York because I always wanted to come to New York ever since I was a little girl. And honestly, I think that's what helped me survive.
Sure.
Was my dream.
Is that desire to get here.
Yes. That's why I can't relate to other actors or people that just I'm just going to say it, gave up. You know, mm-hmm. maybe they don't think they did because they're doing community theater, or maybe they're teaching now, or what have you. Fine, they enjoy it. I don't believe them. I think we all came here to do this, and they just stopped. You know, and everyone has their different paths, and I could never stop.
I understand what you're saying. I agree with you to an extent. The only clarification that I want to make on that end is sometimes I see people, if you are still working, we all have to do something to live. Mm-hmm. And I've been in a position where my craft did not feed
me. You got
to
get creative.
You got to figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what you're saying is you still have your priorities, which are getting your shit off the ground and getting yourself noticed.
That's why
but
I
also
get up
you
every
have
day.
To work your ass off to make mm-hmm. that money.
I refuse to commute. I live in Manhattan, and I've lived in Manhattan ever since I moved here.
And you're not couch surfing. No. You have a place. You have your own space. Mm-hmm. And that's how I was.
Two pets that eat the most organic fresh food.
Oh, it's fucking your bad. It's like having children. Fuck that.
They are. They're both 14 years old. I love them.
So what I'm saying is, like, all these like fucking comics that I know, or guys that I know, or like our actors are like, man, I'm living the artistry, man. What are you doing? You're out there fucking. I remember I would have corporate jobs. Day job? Come on. How can you think about your craft?
The worst?
I'm doing my craft there. Mm-hmm. I'm able to bounce that job, and I'm making cash.
Absolutely. And that's what I think is great about actors. We're just. I'm sitting there on the subway, and I'm studying. I may look like a regular person, but I'm literally just taking every single person in, mm-hmm. whether negatively or positively. Either way, I'm going to use it somehow, somewhere. Sure. I've seen something 5 years ago, and it just comes to me mm-hmm. because it affected me, because I let it in. And I love that. I feel honored and grateful.
Very in tune. That's probably helped you not having therapy, which someone like you probably would have. The only reason why I say this because I've had a damaging childhood, and for 9 years I've had a therapist who's incredible.
You did tell me that, and that's one thing that you and I connected on.
And it's helped me be a better actor, artist, comedian.
I'm all for whatever works for you.
Because letting your walls down is a big deal, and if my chips on my shoulder that I did have and still have remnants of, sometimes would hold me back from being the best artist I can be.
You know, I would love to, like, I know you and I have had really deep conversations, but I would love to, like, really, I want to know. Some people, you just want to know everything. You want to get so deep with them.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're one of those people with me. That's why I wanted to have you on, too, because I know you have that. And I wasn't even expecting to jump into your childhood necessarily.
No, I never
we
expected.
We flowed there.
Well, people
like
are
the
afraid.
River. We flowed there. I like that voice.
You know, for a long time, for the first few years of my professional acting career, I used to walk around feeling unworthy of success. And I felt like when I walked down the street that people would look in my eyes and see that I was tainted.
Yeah, you
did
feel
you ever
like,
feel that way?
You feel like everyone can see
that
all of the chinks all over the armor. Like mm-hmm. they can see all the dents in you.
Isn't
no,
that crazy?
I agree. But and then when you, I'm assuming you're, this is where you're going with this, when you go, fuck, look at these dents. These are awesome. I mean, not that I'm happy that I had to go through that, but I'm happy I made it through that.
I think it's...
And look where I'm at.
Where, such as... I was just having this conversation the other day. When people all of a sudden are going through what I already been through childhood, and they're dealing with it as adults, such as divorce or breakups or abandonment mm-hmm. issues or trust issues or betrayal, mm-hmm. anything that just... can cause depression or even, you know, suicide.
Sure.
I've already overcome it. So then I look at my peers or people older than me or what have you, and, mm-hmm. and I've already been there.
It's
so
a mountain
I
you've
feel
climbed
empowered.
Already.
Mm-hmm. And I do. And now I feel stronger than I ever have. And that's just, and I'm also by myself, and I'm independent. I was actually in a really serious relationship for a really long time, ever since I was 11 years old. Whoa. And he, you know, I told you that he was, you know, I was engaged at 18 and I put him through college, like the whole nine yards.
Wow.
And this was like the one I thought.
Yeah, yeah.
And he
well,
made
obviously.
Me choose between him and my career. And I chose my career.
You will lose, guys. People, you'll, I had people tell me coming, like, hey, what do you want to do? Well, what I'm doing. What do you mean? What do you want to do?
Right? Or oh, what? So what do you do? I'm an actress. No, but what do you do?
No. That's what I.
Well, like,
I do.
Oh, you mean you actually pay all your bills by acting? I'm like, yeah. I don't have a savings account. If that's what you mean. I'm not like, you know, I don't have like a hand house to mouth, or anything. But,
yeah.
But yeah, paycheck to paycheck, gig to gig. Yeah, I'm paying.
But that's
my
what you're doing.
Yeah.
I had one person in California I was with. It was great, a great girl. But
relationship?
Yeah, and she was like, you know, she didn't want. She got pregnant.
With you?
With me, but we weren't even officially dating anymore. We were kind of on and off type of thing.
That's always how it is.
And she got pregnant. And I was seeing before me my father and mother, because that's how my mom got pregnant at 18 with me,
mm-hmm.
is that it was an on and off thing with my dad. They mm-hmm. were together and broke up, and then boom, and then he decides to marry her. And I saw that, and I was due to leave for New York in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to make the tough decision. And, you know, obviously, I had to do that man thing, you know, like, well, what are you going to do?
Right. Yeah,
but
that's
I was really
careful.
Clear that I was leaving, though.
Right.
I just want to be upfront. Like, no matter what happens, I will always
support this baby.
But I'm gone. Like, I have to go.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of sealed it. Obviously, I don't have to spell it out for you guys.
Which is perfect because mm-hmm. you never want to resent a person.
No. And I could tell she really wanted to have that baby.
And when you already have a plan set in your life,
there was nothing stopping me from pursuing this. I needed to get out.
Yeah.
And it saved my life. It really did.
Yeah.
I mean, as hard as it's been.
Right.
I don't know if you feel the same way, but I'm
Listen,
assuming so.
Ladies and gentlemen, y'all can't see his pad, but it's fucking awesome. It's really nice and clean and decorated. And
yeah, I made it, Mom and Dad.
He's doing really great.
In spite of all the obstacles.
And he's really talented. I've seen him perform stand-up and...
Oh,
I
you're so
love
sweet.
Him.
Oh,
I love your type
you.
Of humor. You know that.
Yes.
I like that raunchy.
I'm not that raunchy. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Maybe you
maybe
put
that
it on
night.
For me that night.
Maybe
but...
that night. Maybe that night I was trying to get stimulated, so I went way dirty.
Well, I was affected in that dirty way.
You know what's great about your southern charm is you could flirt with anybody. I could have been a fat dipshit. Like,
and I love you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I feel like there's some genuineness to it. But
no, there is. I genuinely, I don't know. There's something where I just genuinely think, I like, when someone puts an effort to try and communicate with me.
Sure.
I will run with it. I really do.
No, I agree. I'm the same way. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can see when even people try. And I'll just take it from there.
You'll just make, like, they're making that effort.
Yeah,
like,
I can tell that you
they're
want
so,
to,
I got it.
You know, take me in and just, you know, I think maybe because of how I grew up, just being acknowledged
mm-hmm.
is just such a... I think that means
everything
to me.
That's a hard thing to get over with people like us in the beginning, is the attention. Because, you know, when you're getting a lot of attention,
you
you're not accustomed to it.
Go through phases, right?
Where, like, sometimes any kind of attention to me would be like, oh, well, you want to give me attention? Sure.
Yeah.
It's not until now that I'm wiser, a little longer in the tooth, that it may be more successful. It is the attention... I take it at face value, unless it's someone that I completely know.
Right.
And then they're giving me compliments. But, you know, coming off stage, I love talking. People that come to my shows, thank you so much.
Right.
I love talking to you guys. I love hearing what you liked and you supporting me. It's extremely flattering and it means a lot to me. So please don't take this the wrong way. What I'm saying is there are some people that I never noticed because I wasn't capable, because all I was hearing was the noise of you're so great. But what was underneath all that was, hey, but I want to tell you something about me.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I want you to do something for me. Hey, I want to tell you about, I think I should be able to be a comic. Like, you know how many times that happens where I end up talking about, because I'm a listener like you, when someone's mm-hmm. communicating, like you said, I roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then some guy's like, man, I really love your, you're fucking great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. What's your name? My name is Jonathan. Oh, Jonathan, great. And then what do you know me and my, like, then it could go, and I'm hearing about Jonathan for an hour at
right.
the bar. I don't want to do that.
I feel like I give too much, actually, and I'm trying to become better about that. I almost want to hire someone or adopt someone to, like, okay, it's been 20 minutes, Amanda, you might want to move on to the next person or something like that. Seriously.
No, you have to do that.
You should just, getting out of my play last night, you know, we have the red carpet, I have interviews, and then, you know, I want to go and talk to everyone. Everyone's
yeah.
coming up to me. And I want to make sure to genuinely spend time and catch up with everyone who made the effort to come see
my play. Because
it
means a lot. There's so much stuff to do out there.
I think it means more to me,
mm-hmm.
really. But when I let them go... They'll just go and go, and really, they're not really even considering, oh, shoot, that other person wants to talk to her, too, or something like that.
That's a whole other thing, though, too. Like, that's people who are nice people that
mm-hmm.
just don't have the concept of that, oh, this is someone that's their night. Like, that's your night. That's
mm-hmm.
your moment.
Right.
In that moment, people want to speak with you because they just saw you on stage.
Right.
I'm talking about the people that are just blatant.
No, I'm talking.
I want your attention so bad, but I'm going to talk about myself.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about you.
That's when I have to get my bring my Southern out. Like, oh, darn, I could just talk to you all night, but if you would excuse me, but I'm looking at you from across over here, so don't you go anywhere.
Big nights, it's easy to do that, though, because they understand on big nights, usually, especially the way you're charming like that. But you've... Not every night's a big night for me. My job is to go out 5 times a week and go into rooms that are 50 people.
But you understand it's draining too.
Oh my God, it's much more draining than the big night. Mm-hmm. The big night, at least you know you're prepared for that shit.
That's true.
The night where I'm just going to work and getting off stage, and now, like, I used to be, like, I owe it to this guy. No, I don't. Yeah. I don't owe it to talk to anybody that long, especially when they're selfish. Unless you're saying, hey, I work for HBO, I work for fucking ICM, or
even then, actually, I think that's worse. I hate that.
Why do you hate when people want
to? Well, because, no.
Unless you're going to, a lot of people say that, though, and nothing comes of it. Yes.
Nothing. Here's my card, please. Do you have a reel?
Yeah. No,
I'm only a veteran, you know what I mean? Like,
he's only a salty veteran, guys.
I only just got started. Oh, my God. You know? It's like.
Do you have a bra size? Yeah. Did I hear that right on the podcast? Whoa. You're a G? Can I sign you?
Right? Oh, my God. Have you ever considered Playboy? No one's ever brought that up in my entire career, ever.
You're so not girl next door, though.
I know, and I never will be.
No, you should never be.
It's never going to happen, and I've accepted that.
You should never be.
I'm the girl. I'm the girl next door that you never had the guts to talk to, and by the time you probably wanted to, I was already going... Packing my stuff and moving to New York.
Next town.
And I was too ambitious
for the
neighborhood. No, that's I honestly feel like that's how it's gonna happen. That's how I see
it's
it.
Like that's like Springsteen, Thunder Road.
Thunder Road.
A town full of losers.
Pretty much. Well, I was also a minority where I came from. You know, I was pretty much the
only
ethnicity? White. I'm white.
Oh, we mean a lot of minorities live where you're at,
absolutely.
Became minority. Okay, yeah.
I am a minority where I come from. Everyone I went to school with was Hispanic and black, for sure. So I was referred to, even though they knew my name, the white girl with the big tits.
Yeah, know? Well, yeah. Hey, I referred to you that in my mind. Hey, where's that white girl with the big tits?
White girl. Hey!
Hey, white girl, big tits, please.
And then when they see me walking, then they know I hear them, but I'm ignoring them. Okay, Amanda. Amanda Greer. Yes.
Full name. See, you need the full name.
That's always. If you really want to turn me on or get my attention, say
full
my
name
full
Greer.
Name. I have this one lover. I tell you. He would just, oh my God, I can't believe I'm having sex with Amanda Greer. And believe
that's
it or
your
not.
Ego, though.
I know,
your
I know.
So
it really.
That's just ego.
Some people won't even give me compliments because they're like, you can't fit through the door. I'm like, oh, shush. Really?
It's true.
I'm collecting them for when I'm older and I don't get any more.
It's never going to happen.
Well.
I mean, you will get older, but there'll all be some guy waiting to deal with you.
I'm hoping. Sunset Boulevard. I'm hoping that he'll move in with me and be my houseboy.
Charisma and charm will keep people in your world, in your circle. Granted, you're not going to get away with as much as you do now.
And I know it, too. And
but
that's the hard
you're going to adjust.
Well,
evolution.
My Nana is my hero. She is in her 60s. She's retired. She's like Elizabeth Taylor. She's been married like 7 times. She's obviously not married anymore. She's independent. She used to own her own hair salon. I mean, she's had success, and she's ambitious and independent.
Mm-hmm.
And she's fucking gorgeous. I remember we went to the swimming pool last year. Her ass was higher than mine, and she has a tattoo and everything. I have no tattoos. My Nana has a tattoo, okay? And
it's like
I was
Blanche from Golden Girls.
I'm checking her out. She's like an older Anne Margaret. You know, mm-hmm. She's redhead and everything.
Yeah.
And now she lives like in the hill country and retired community, and all these, you know, all these other couples, oh, they're like holding on to their husbands or something. And my Nana don't want no man.
She wants young men. Many young men. She doesn't want one man. She wants young men.
She's
many.
Just, you know, she's content with herself.
I kind of want to see a picture of Nana and
I'll
give her a holler.
She is so gorgeous. She takes my breath. I look up to her. If I could age as great as she has and be as
so
good
she's
with
the
myself.
One family member you have where you're like, okay.
Well, you know why? Because she's the only one that's been honest with me.
Mm-hmm.
When we've gotten to conversations with her, you know, why she did with my dad and why she never rescued me from foster care. Mm-hmm. She could have easily taken me in, you know, all these things. And I could have been that child that blamed her and everyone else for everything that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't with her. I mean, I just never was that way. But
you know what would have saved me? This is why I still have, you know, before we wrap up, because I go through conflictions like that where I'm this guy whining in therapy about this and stuff. And I realized it was pointed out to me that it's not the whining. We all have a right to mourn. Right. If you never gave me, I never had a chance to mourn because if you're in the war, you can't mourn. Mm-hmm. If you're in the war, it's when you get out of the war that you got to deal with what you saw in the war. You know, it's post-traumatic stress syndrome, mm-hmm. PTSD. Mm-hmm. I mean, in bad childhood, you feel degrees of that. Once you get in a good, stable place, all of a sudden, holy shit, all this stuff, I've never felt this coming to me. It's what my problem is when the people that have done the wrong don't go, hey, Josh, I did you wrong.
Right.
And you know what? I can't change that, but you know what I'm going to do? I want to be a part of your life. Like, let's build a relationship.
Absolutely.
No one in my world has ever admitted they've done any wrong.
And she's
never.
The only one that has.
They blame the kid. Isn't that crazy? How do you blame the kid? And
I
if
know.
Your grandmother's done that, then she deserves to have your love. She deserves it.
She will forever. I love her.
That's awesome.
I call her more than everyone else. You know?
And you should, because at least she is a woman enough to go, I fucked up. I didn't step in. I was selfish. I didn't step in. But I love you, and I'm really sorry, and I can't fix that, but can we be close? And you're like, yeah, you know what? I can, because
not only was she honest with me, she was honest with herself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can't do this. I can't take that on.
Yeah. No.
That's all good.
And it sucks for you that it happened that way, but it is what it is.
I've taken
it didn't kill you.
Blessing.
It didn't kill you. You know? You're stronger because of it. Didn't kill you.
I feel bad for people that haven't been challenged in their lives or gone through anything. And I mean, I've even been in love.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I've gone through heartbreak where I felt like I was gonna die.
Sure.
And now I can't even imagine being in love anymore. You know?
Yeah. Now you're just like this.
Now
it's like
a
callous.
I'm so selfish.
It's
but
a
in a
big,
good way.
Callousy skin.
Shut up.
Valve that just pumps blood. There is no.
That's not true.
No one's allowed
There's
in.
Still a little
it's
color
like Willy
in my
Wonka's
black heart.
Factory. Nobody ever goes in. Nobody ever comes out. Plug what you're doing. Plug what's going on. Where can they find you? All that shit.
Right now, I'm performing live theater in an original play, Another Famous Dead Artist, in the New York New Works Theater Festival. And they do have a website with online tickets. And that's in Times Square in the Electra Theater inside the Times Square Art Center.
What's the website?
NewYorkNewWorks.com.
Take a quick look. Plug your Instagram while you're looking.
Instagram and Facebook, all pretty much all my social media, Twitter is the Amanda Greer. You know why? Because there was another
Some
Amanda
asshole,
Greer, and
yeah.
I had to just get it out.
So
same thing with
Amanda
my
Greer,
website.
And Greer is Greer, correct?
Greer.
Perfect.
The white version. And I have an upcoming web pulp noir series called Simple Things, and I'm very femme fatale in that. It's going to be perfect choice for me, where I can actually show something I've never done before, I feel like.
Awesome.
And then I have an upcoming short film called Devoured that I worked
with. Yes, yes, we know, yes.
I can't wait for that.
It's coming.
And I've also, I'm being considered for a huge project right now. HBO, Fox, and Bungalow 42 Productions.
Let's hope that happens.
I have my fingers crossed.
We're all crossing. Everyone cross your fingers, all listeners, please, because this is like family. Amanda's like family around here, so make
and
sure.
And I just signed with Steinberg Talent Management, and I've also been working with Aqua Model and Talent Management, and I love them so much.
And that's Amanda. Make sure you go check out all Amanda's clips, all of her content, at the Amanda Greer, Twitter, Instagram, all that great stuff. And go support her because she's amazing, and we're here to support other artists in this day and age. Everything social media, so please, if you go out there, hit her up. Hit me up. That being said, I will be at Gotham Comedy Club on December 1st, I believe. I have to recheck that date. I'm not very good at plugging myself, but I'll be on the Comedy Juice Show. I'll be in California at the Madhouse Comedy Club during the Thanksgiving week in San Diego, as I said. And yeah, so that's kind of what's going on with me. Also, I want to read an email I got from somebody. slampigpodcast@gmail.com. So if you want to send your emails, that's where you can send them. Now, this comes from John. John is from Philly, and he says, Josh, how many girls have you banged in your life? Now, a gentleman never counts, John. So I don't know. I stopped counting after like 10. So A friend of mine who knows me really well thinks it's been over 200. Who knows? You don't count. They're not trophies. They're not pelts. I don't have pussy pelts hanging from my bed post. Plus, I'm engaged now, so I have to, like, watch what I say. But, well, actually, no, I don't. I'm going to still be me, everybody. I'm going to be the one guy, I don't know how long I'll be married for, but I'll be the one guy who's going to stay himself within the marriage. I got a good chick. But yeah, sorry, John, I don't really know. I don't count. But if you give me a few vodka rocks, I could probably come up with a number for you. Anyways, thank you guys again. Thank you so much for listening to the show, and I will catch you on the next show.